Praise the Lord and good morning everyone. It's my privilege to stand before you because, you know, the world is celebrating all over the world. It's Mother's Day. I stood before you previously for Father's Day. And I took privilege that I don't know why it's coming to me, but I'm learning this process. So I feel it's a privilege to stand before you on this Mother's Day. So for our meditation, let's turn our Bibles to a couple of portions from the scriptures. Let's turn to, as Brother Calvin during the worship time has asked us to read few verses from Hebrews 11 chapter. We'll continue a few verses further from there. Hebrews chapter 11. From verse 23 to 26, we'll read it responsively. Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 23 to 26, we'll read it alternatively. I'll start with verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And second scripture portion is from Exodus. Exodus chapter 2. From verse 1 to verse 11, we will read it responsively. Book of Exodus, chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 11, we will read it responsively. And there went a man of house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and she saw him the child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dug it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood far to meet what would be done to him. Verse 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe was wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, this is the one of the Hebrew's children. Verse 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, and she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called her the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him from Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son. Called his name Moses, and he said, because I drew you out of the water. And verse 11, I read. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And verse 12, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So may Lord bless our scripture reading. Let's look to God for his grace so that Lord may bless this scripture portion to our hearts and our souls.
Loving Heavenly Gracious Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy, for your love, Father. We are here only because of your, Father, unfailing love, unconditional love, and your mercies are new every day, Father. Many people are there, Father, who haven't seen this day, but in your grace you have granted us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to have a glimpse through your word and refreshing our minds and souls that, oh Father, you are the Heavenly Father. You loved us and you've given your Son, Christ Jesus, for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord. You waited for us, Father, till we come. Though we lived a wretched life, you accepted us when we came to you. Oh Father, you've given us a new life. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God, which is sharper, quicker than two-edged sword, which pierces into our hearts and reveals the inner hearts, and it which comforts us, which strengthens us, which warns us. Thank you, Lord, as we are going to meditate few scripture portions from your word. Father, be with us and bring all our wandering thoughts into your captivity. Oh Father, weak, oh Father, full of foolishness, but I bring myself under your sprinkling blood. You use me for your glory, oh Father. We bring, Father, powers of darkness, Father, under your authority, Father. We pray for Sunday school ministry also. Bless the little ones too. Grant their portion. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. If you ask me who is the favorite character in the Bible, without doubt I will say Abraham. Because through the life of Abraham, I learned many things, and it was a practical help in my life when I went through different situations, how God dealt with in the life of Abraham. In the same way, if you ask me who is the favorite woman character in the Bible, without doubt I can say it's Moses' mother. How many of you know the name of Moses' mother? Yes. Just don't tell the name, just raise your hand. How many of you know Moses? How many of you know Moses? So without hesitation, every one of you know. But the man and the woman behind the Moses is Jochebed. Or in Hebrew, we call it Jochebed. So we are going to see a few characteristics of Jochebed in our today's meditation. Before that, I would like to ask Sandeep to play a small video. This is more specific to the mothers. So it will be having only the wording, so you have to is adapted from Irma Bombuck. She wrote about the mother, stories about the mother in US. So she writes about, imagines about her mother and wrote, like, it's just a fiction, but she depicts a conversation between the angel and the God when God created the mothers. So we are so blessed to have a mother and especially godly mothers. Not only mothers and grandparents and grandmothers who are full of faith, full of godly attributes in their life, which has made us what we are, and as we are standing or sitting, whatever we are doing. So we thank God and we praise God for all the godly mothers who are sitting here. So we know that verse from the Bible, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Raj, can you read it for me? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Just first part. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. One, verse one.
The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands.
Yeah, here we can see a wise woman builded a house. So if you ask question, who is this wise woman, or what's the characteristics of a wise woman? So in the same book, Proverb, mother of Lemuel, I think is the other name of King Solomon, who is the wisest king who ever lived on this earth. And other name of King Solomon is Edadiah. He is the beloved son of Jehovah. So there you can see the description of wise women. So I'm not going through entire chapter, but I will give you a few characteristics. He says, she says that to Lemuel that she is more precious than rubies. So a wise woman is precious than rubies, and she is a devoted person. She is trustworthy person. Her husband trusts her, and she is a diligent woman, and she is a disciplined, and she provides for her house, and she is a visionary. She knows what her children to be and how her husband to be. Not only that, she is a discerning. She knows the walk of her children before they come and tell her, and she is a good teacher, and also he says that she's a hard working, and she's a great tradeswoman. She finds the right things for the right price and buys it. So at the end of the Proverbs chapter 31st chapter, verse 28, we all read together. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28. We all read together. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So, if you remember, for the Father's Day, we asked the fathers to stand up. So we gave them a big clap, isn't it? So to appreciate them, what they are doing in our life. But now we are going to do other way around now. So we will ask the brothers, sons, daughters, and husbands to stand up, and we give clap to the mothers, because all the time they'll be standing and doing some or other thing for us. Yeah, isn't it? So we'll stand up as the children. Yeah, we'll make our mothers to sit just to appreciate them. So it's a standing ovation, you can say. We thank you for being a part of our church, part of our family, part of our society. The effort, the love, the affection which you invest in the family, especially the small children or the children, is so immense, so immeasurable. So children neither children sometimes, neither husband may not be able to acknowledge the things which you are doing for them. But God is saying He is going to reward one day. And you can see that fruit of that effort and that love in the coming days. So it will not go in vain. So one of the Jewish proverbs goes like this. So God could not be there, could not be everywhere, so He created mother. So, and Abraham Lincoln, who is the well-known president of US, he says that, I remember my mother's prayer, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life. That's the effect of prayers of mothers. You might be praying when they are going to school, when husbands are at the work, or when they are going for the to play something and they are away from you. But your prayers are heard. They will fail and they will be protected, and God is hearing your prayers, and He is answering, and He will answer. And one more thing, he said that all that I am, this the Abraham, same Abraham Lincoln saying, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. So this is the impact of a mother in the life of a man or a child. So he might be a great president, he might be a normal man, or it might be a preacher, it may whomever it may be, but there is an impact. Certainly there is an impact of mother in the life of a man or the children. So we have heard in the morning that God Himself, we call Him an heavenly Father, isn't it? But He never ashamed of calling or comparing Himself with the few attributes of the mother. Do you recognize that? So one of the thing is, if you turn Bible to Isaiah chapter 49, we know this verse very well. When we feel down, when we feel lonely, yeah, these verses comfort us. So here we can see that our Heavenly Father is not ashamed of comparing Himself with a mother. He is a father, but He is having that attributes of a mother. When God created man and woman, He created in His own image. So He is having that character. This message is not restricted to the mothers, but as a man and as a daughters, as a brothers, or the whatever we may be, it's applicable to all of us. God wants us to possess these characters in our life. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. If anybody has turned to that portion, can you please read Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15? Yeah, here we can see God is comparing the nursing or the caring of a mother to an infant. So you can't take eyes of a mother of that child or the infant, and all her thoughts, all her emotions are attached, especially during that infant. But there are times where that mother can forget, but God is saying that I will never forget. He is comparing Himself with the nursing mother. Second comparison we can see from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. I'll read it for you. Isaiah chapter 66, chapter verse 13. As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Here we can see the comfort which we receive from the mother. As a father, we can take them to play. We can tell them stories. We can buy them stuff. But do you understood or identify in your life that we cannot comfort our children or little each? We'll try to comfort. It doesn't mean that we should not, but we'll try for 5 minutes. After that, we'll get irritated. Oh, go to mommy. Let's see. Yeah. So, a couple of weeks back, Asher, he got up from the sleep, and you don't know what happened, but he was crying. I am asking, trying to comfort him, console him, what happened? Have you got a bad dream? Are you feeling pain? No, he is suffering. I got frustrated. He said, what you want me to do? I want to go, mama. So when they are hurt, when they want something, when they are in pain, when they don't know what to do, who can comfort his mother? If they are sick, you can't take him, only mother. Neither doctor also won't be able to comfort them, only mother. Just that hug, the cuddle, that kiss, that soothing words which comes from the heart of the mother will comfort that child. God is saying that as a mother comforts a child, I will comfort you. That's the greatest comfort. And in 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, he says that, I'll read that verse for you. Sometimes God allows things we feel that we should not go through. Why God is allowing me to go through that? It's simply because to expand our hearts, enlarge our hearts and our ministry and our involvement with the Lord and in His work. So this is 2 Corinthians. Verse 5 and 6, I'll read for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectually in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. He is saying that God is making you to go through that tribulation or the suffering or that trial which you feel that sometimes we feel, why I'm going through that? I'm not worthy for that. But God is preparing you. He is going to comfort you in this situation so that when others, might be unbelievers, might be neighbors, someone in our family or friends, when they go through that situation, you can go and comfort them. Because you went through and you are the right person and the Lord has prepared you. So that's the comfort which Paul is speaking about. And here also we saw that God compared himself with the mother who comforts a child. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 37. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 37. If you have, somebody has took that portion, can you please read it loudly?
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, all whom thou hast gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathering her chickens under her wings, and they would not.
Yeah. So the same verse is written in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 34. He's talking about gathering the children or the restoration or the protection which he wants to give. But they rejected as a nation of Israel. They want to go in their own ways. They are stiff-necked people. And here he is comparing himself with a mother hen. Mother hen always tried to gather chicks under her wings. If you have been to a village set up, so I usually think about like in summer holidays, I used to go to my grandma's place, it's a village. So they used to have chickens and it used to give a small baby chickens. So when they go out, in the night they will be under that basket, which is made of bamboo thing. And in the morning they will leave it, they will go out and they eat some seeds and something fallen on the ground. But as soon as mother hen sees vulture flying over, he calls all his chickens to come under this wing. Because they will come so fast that they will come and grab the little one and they will go off. It's like a fraction of seconds. But it understands that something is danger there and calls the chicken hens to come under its wing. So it's talking about the protection which mother gives to her children. A story told about a mother who was crossing from one village to other in a province or the state of New South, not New South Wales, it's the South Wales in UK. So it's a long time back. So when she was crossing, in between she met up with this snowstorm. So it was so strong that she was overcome by that snowstorm. But later when the rescue people found out that woman, she was dying. And what she found was, she took all her outer garments and wrapped the infant in that cloth and she hid under her. So when they found this little infant, he was still alive. So because she had protected her child. And that boy became the Prime Minister of UK. He's none but, his name was David Lloyd George. So that's the protection of mother. So not only he compared himself with a mother hen, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10 to 14, if somebody has taken that one. Or else I'll go through that one. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10 to 14. Here God compares himself with an eagle, mother eagle. So, which steals up the nest and take her, mentors her, or trains her eaglets to fly higher so that they can enjoy the best things of the world. So usually, eagle will build her a nest in the high places like a mountain, rocky mountains, or high trees, so that enemy or the snakes will not able to eat the eaglets. So once that eaglets were small, she will go and get the food and feed, put it in with the nose into their mouth, and she'll pick. But after a certain stage, slowly it will take up that nest. The nest, which is so comfortable, cozy, which gives warm and love for the eaglet, she takes up one by one. They don't understand why she is doing that, why she is so angry on them. But what she was trying to do is, she was trying to train that eaglet to fly. She kicked that eaglet out of that nest, so that when it's falling down from that high places, they will try to slap it with wings and get strengthened. And before hitting that ground, it flies, zooms like a jet flight, and picks her up on her wings and goes into the top place again. It repeats till that eaglet learns how to fly higher places. In the same way, God is comparing that mother eaglet, how he trains her sometimes, and he makes her to fly higher places. We might be thinking, if you are going through the tough time or the trial, at a difficult time in your life, please remember it's not by an accident, but God is allowing to us grow and fly higher to enjoy the better things of the God which he has planned and purpose in our lives. So these are the comparisons which we have. So we'll come back to our scripture portion, what we read from Exodus chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 11. We know that Moses is a great man of God. Yeah, we all know the Moses. Most of us didn't know the name of Moses' mother, but we know Moses was a man of God. And during the time of Jesus, when Jesus asked, "Want to become my disciples?" Or when blind man in John's Gospel chapter 9, I think, when he got healed, he said they were asking questions again and again to that blind man, "Who has healed you? Are you the disciples of Jesus Christ?" And he says that, "Do you want to become the disciples of Jesus Christ?" And he says, no, we are the disciples of Moses. They have a higher regard or importance for the Moses, because he is the one who gave them the law. And also he is the one who delivered them from the captivity of Egypt. And he led them through the wilderness to the promised land for 40 years. And he is the one who saw God from the cleft rock. And he spoke to him as a friend. And he revealed the great things of the God, isn't it? But if you see, that impact was started when he was a child. Why he became such a great man of God. And also, he is the one who wrote first five books of the Old Testament, or Torah, in Hebrew language. So he's a great prominent person, but if you see, go back and see the roots from where he started, let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. Chapter 1, last verse, I'll read it from there. What's the situation or the environment or the conditions or circumstances during the birth of our great man of God, Moses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Here there was a verdict from the Pharaoh, Egyptian king, that if any Hebrew women give birth to a baby boy, he should be thrown into the river Nile. If he is a baby girl, let her live, because he don't want boys, because they might become a great army and they might fight against that country. So that's the situation. Here we can see chapter 2, verse 1 onwards, how father of Moses went and married another Levi from the tribe of women, from the tribe of Levi. And their names we can't see until chapter 6, verse 25. Sorry, chapter 6, verse 21. Yeah, verse 20. I'll read for you. Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. And Amram took him, Jacobeth. Amram is his father's name. Next time when someone asks who is the father of Moses, who is he? What's his name? Amram. And his mother's name, Jacobeth. And his father's sister to wife. And she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. Here we can see there, first time it's mentioned about the parents of Moses. He's not the first one, but he has a brother and a sister. And if you read Exodus chapter 7 and 7, there he mentions that Moses was 40 years old and Aaron was 43 years. Aaron is 3 years older than Moses. Miriam is the eldest one. She might be 13 to 15 years of age. So here is the setting. And that edict came and she became a pregnant. So she might be praying, Lord, let it be a baby girl. Let it be, might be a baby girl. Because if he's a baby boy, she has to throw into the Nile. So she was praying, but day came, she delivered, it was a baby boy. He didn't reject her, but when she saw, here we can see the verse 2, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months. When she saw that child, it's not one more child, but it's a special child. And Hebrews chapter 11, if you turn, if you put a finger on that, or a bookmark on Exodus chapter 2, and let's come to Hebrews, New Testament. Chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid three months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. He was a goodly child. He was a proper child. Proper child for that situation. Might be God has revealed in her heart and to the parents, Jacobeth and Amram. They are having the same faith that this boy, this child is a special child, as a beautiful child, as a goodly child. God has some purpose in his life. They had that faith. They cooperated that faith. It's not that Jacobeth is having faith and Amram is not cooperating with her or contradicting with her. But both, they had same faith. And when we have that same faith, when we come together, I must confess to my wife that most of the time we miss that praying together. That will bring us the cooperative faith. That will bring us on the same page, each other, on the in the life of faith. So they had the same faith. When they saw that Moses, and they saw that he was a special, godly, proper child. And Josephus, Jewish historian, he writes about the, says that the angel of God must have appeared unto Jacobeth, and she must have revealed that he is going to be their deliverer of Israelites from that situation. So, and he gives, this Joseph, Josephus is the Jewish historian, he gives data as 1520 BC sometime. But there is no like biblical support or argument for that. But he says that they have saw that he was a special child. Whatever the child we are having in our families, they have a special purpose in their lives. We don't know whom we are raising. One day we will know for sure. But we may not also know on this earth, but when we go to heaven, we might know. But we are, God has given that incredible responsibility as a mother, as a father, to bring up that child. So they had a cooperative faith, and they are, she's having that bold faith or the courageous faith. So there was a king edict. So King Pharaoh wants to suppress the Israelites by hook or crook. So first he introduced slavery, and he took off what all the provisions to build the city of Ramesses. You have to bring the hay, you have to make the brick. First he saw given that to build the city, but he said that you go and get it and you build it. I don't know how you do it. Still they were like increasing, multiplying, because hand of God was upon them. Then he said, no, it's not going to work. So he ordered the midwives of Hebrews, say that if you find, if any Hebrew woman is giving birth to a male child, you kill her. But God has a plan in their lives also. In our current society also, recently they have passed a law saying that I think 500 meters perimeter or 1 kilometer, 500 perimeters, if a woman wants to abort her child, no one should restrict or try to counsel or influence her. If you are trying to do in that perimeter, you will be arrested or you will be prosecuted as per the law. So it's same like a situation here, like they want to kill that boy, but then God's hand was upon them. Then Hebrew midwives say instead of going on time, they might have delayed so that baby boys might come. So they are saying, what we can do, Pharaoh, by the time we're going there, so Hebrew women are wise, they are giving birth, so we can't do anything. So that's also not working. Then he said that now third option is, if a baby boy, throw him into the Nile. If a baby girl, make him alive. So why a Nile? Because Nile is there, like if you see the old civilization, all the civilizations were built on the bank of the rivers, because water is the source of the life. So they worship Nile, one of the goddesses. So they want to worship that Nile goddesses by offering the little child, throwing that little child into that river. So, but they had a bold, the courage, faith. They defied the king's edict because they have to obey the heavenly king. So that's why Hebrew writer say that by faith, because faith in heavenly king. So Bible encourages us or admonishes to obey to these our rulers. If it is going against the word of God or the law of God, then we should take the bold step of faith to defy it. We can. Now, Daniel have done it. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego have done it. So God has given a few examples there. So here also we can see the mother of Moses and the father of Moses. They had a courage faith. They defied, and they were able to raise or hide this child for 3 months. Why only 3 months? Have you ever tried to suffice a baby or the infant who is crying? Maybe we can't like handle that baby for 1 or 2 minutes. He cries so intense that we won't feeling like holding that baby, isn't it? So we will try to console, but it's out of our order. But by God's grace, they hit that baby 3 times. There might be spies in that area. It might be, oh, there is a baby, whether he's a boy or girl, don't know. So they might inform. So they try their hard, they try their level best to hide that baby for more than 3 months, but they can't. But there comes faith, which is a clever faith. One man of God says that faith and planning goes hand in hand. It doesn't mean walking by faith doesn't mean that we should not we should stop thinking. It doesn't mean that we should become lazy or complacent. He says that prepare for the war, but the result ultimately leave it into the hands of God. And there was an old saying in the military or the defense when they were fighting the revolutionary war between civil war happening in the US, they say that trust in God, but keep your powder dry. They used to have a powder to fill in the guns and shoot it. They say that prepare for your prepare yourself for the battle, but leave the ultimate result into the hands of our God. So she's a clever woman. How we can say that she has prepared a meticulous planning she has done. So what she has done, she is not able to hide that baby anymore. So what she has done, she made a basket of bamboo or papyrus, and she applied the tar so that it may not, water may not go in, and she might have put some hay or some grass inside the basket so that baby may not feel hard or tough, so that he might be comfortable inside. And she must, put that basket in a place. It says, the Bible word of God says that she put it in the bulrushes on the river bank in the river Nile. Why she chose that place? Because she knows that the daughter of Pharaoh will come there to worship Nile. And she didn't put it in the flowing water, but she put it in a bulrushes so that it's stuck there and it may not go away. She is a wise woman. And as I mentioned in the Proverbs 31 also, she is a diligent and she is a wise woman and she is a clever. She must have done that prototype. It may not be there. That thought itself might not be there. She might have prepared that paper. She might be tried in the house, in the some big pot or something. And when it is succeeded, she might have went to the river and tried putting some toy in that and tried maybe. And how well she planned, and also she prepared Miriam, and she asked her daughter to be watchful, don't take away eyes from her. And she must have rehearsed the dialogue, saying that when she found out that boy and how she has to go to that, walk to that king's daughter, and she should not be excited that, oh, he's safe, and you should be normal and you should be as usual, and tell that if you want mother, I'll bring it. And it should be normal. She might have rehearsed with her daughter many times. And the time came. She has planned very meticulously. But she left ultimate results into the hand of God. And the day came. And she put that basket with a little Moses, infant Moses, in that bulrushes. She might be praying back in the house. She might be praying back in that house. Lord, please, please help. When she found that baby, she might find favor. And the time came, and that Pharaoh's daughter came with her friends and the servants, and she was taking bath, and he started crying, little infant Moses. She asked, who is that boy? And she asked the servant to go and get that basket. As soon as she got it, when she opened, he started crying. And when she saw that, God changed her heart. He says that she found favor. He found favor in the eyes of Pharaoh's daughter. And she asked, she didn't say kill him. She has every right, terminate him, throw him off. But she said, who is he? And he says, he might be one of the boy from Hebrew. One of the boy. Then slowly came in Miriam, said, do you want to have a nurse to look after this boy? And she said, oh, why not? So she ran and called Jochebed. Jochebed must be, she also must be practiced so well that she might be happy, oh, my child is safe, and she called, she's going to call me. So she must be walking as usual, normal. She's not the mother of the child. She's just like a servant. What you want me to do? And take this baby, nurse it for me. I'll give you reward. So she took that baby and nursed it. And says that he was Moses was with his mom till the age of weaning. Some says that it might be age of 4 years, but some says that age of 7 years also. But in that 7 years, the teaching or the faith, the seed which she installed in the heart of Moses, it didn't depart in the entire of his life. And one thing he knows, that God has a purpose in his life. See, at the age of 40, he's reminding what mother has helped. Turn to Acts chapter 7. This is the testimony which Stephen is giving about the entire history of Israel. So there he is giving this story. Verse 22-26, if somebody has taken that, can you please read? Acts chapter 7, verse 22-26. Can you please read it loudly, please? Yeah.
At which time Moses was born and was exceedingly fair, nourished up in his father's house 3 months, and he was cast out. Pharaoh's daughter came up and nurtured him for his own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in works and deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. And he supposed his brethren, whom have understood how that God, by his hand, delivered them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as a stroke, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who may be a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me? And thou art the Egyptian yesterday.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, thank you, brother. Yeah. So here, if you see verse 25, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. He knows that God is going to use him and going to use him to deliver the children of Israel from that wilderness. How he came to know? How he came to know at the age of 40? He's not been to the wilderness yet, because that during the time of weaning, Jacob has installed that faith. Son, listen to my words. You are a special child. God is going to use you to deliver this. Again and again, should have been whispered in your ears, in his ears. I've been taught him. And she taught him, who is he? He's a Hebrew. And who are they, brethren of? He said, all these Hebrews are our brethren. Here at the age of 40, if you see maximum, if he has stayed with Jochebed for 7 years, and now he is 40 years, 33 years he is in the palace. He has a name, Moses, that is not given by his parents, but the daughter of Pharaoh has given. And he learned all the culture. And here he says that he is well-versed in all the academics, in all the warfare. And some few historians say that he had a couple of victorious warfares also. So he won a couple of battles also. But never the thought went from his heart that God is going to use him to deliver his children. So the memory verses are the stories, are that faith which we are installing in our children will not go away. We cannot hinder the faith, but we can install the faith. So how we can do when we live a life of faith? The greatest gift which we can give to our children is not the comforts or the nice dresses, they are important, good education, but the faith-filled life. Because both of his parents were man of faith and women of faith, so he followed faith. Then it says that 24-26 Hebrews says, by faith Moses chose not to be take part in the pleasures of this world, but to be part of the sufferings of Christ. How he can able to do? Because as a godly mother. So, there we can see the influence of a mother, a great man of God. And there is the George Washington, who is the first president of US. He says that, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in the life to the moral, intellectual and physical education I received from her." This is said by George Washington. And he is one of the good believers in Jesus Christ also. He never started his day unless he reads or have his quiet time. So he's the one is saying, I owe everything to my mom, because he has learned from there. So moms, the jobs which you are doing may not be appreciated by everyone. If you go out and look in the world, they will discourage you. They say that, why you are not working? Why you study this much? Why you are not doing this? But the greatest responsibility and the greatest duty, greatest job which you are doing is nobody can do. Your influence on the children, your influence on the home, your influence on the family, your influence on the church, your influence on the society is immeasurable. So as that older daughter of Pharaoh said, "Go and nurse this child, I will reward you." God is saying, "Nurse these little ones which I have handed over." He didn't hand it over the little babies to fathers, isn't it? But mothers were made in such a way that they were the best person to hand in the little ones. It doesn't mean that daddy has no responsibility, but you are the immense. You have the immense responsibility, and the impact of your life on the little ones is great. So may help us and have that qualities as a man also to comfort one another as mothers comforts, and also to nurse and to train and to bring them up. So and James chapter 1 verse 5 says that if anybody lacks wisdom, ask me. I'll ask him, ask God, and he will give. And many times we don't know how to bring these little ones, because so they are so precious. So may God give us that knowledge, wisdom to bring. May help us. We may not be like a Jacobed, but may help us to learn from the life of her. May aspire and acquire that attributes of Jacobed to bring these little ones. Before that, I would like Sandeep to play one video. And thank you for your patience.